Thank you very much for joining me. I'm Bob Franklin. You're listening to the Radio Public Affairs program, Like It Is.
My guest today is Harry Wu, a human rights campaigner who spent 19 years incarcerated by the Chinese government in a bamboo gulag as a political prisoner.
6 years later, finally, I got my passport and got the invitation, came to the United States as a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley. On November 20, 1985, you know, the first moment I passed the customs service checking point, I feel my knee on the ground. I told myself, I'm free. I think everybody can simply say that. Freedom is priceless. But I don't think you really understand what is, you know about the meaning of the freedom is priceless. Maybe once you lost your freedom and you get it back, and maybe you're that qualified to say that. I lost it. I get it back. Freedom means you can say something you want to think, you want to say. You can think something you want to think. But I really have a hard time because I don't have money. And I sold my everything in China, except I bought the tickets and only $40 in my pocket. So I'm not able to have a room. I have to stay in the bar station, in the People's Park in Berkeley during the night. But I feel very happy. Okay. I do understand in this country if I work hard, if I never give up, I can have a good life.
The remarks of my guest, Harry Wu, previously recorded before an audience which included Senator Tim Hutchinson of Arkansas, members of the community, and faculty and staff members of Arkansas State University.
Let me ask you this. Let's start right off the bat. You were in prison in China for 2 decades. What were the conditions like for political prisoners?
First of all, I don't think everyone, if you get into Chinese labor camp, they call Lao Gai camp, L-A-O-G-A-I, just like a Soviet gulag. You have to forget about you are human beings. You can't treat yourself as a human being. Why? Because if you treat yourself as a human being, and then you are thinking about you have the dignity, you have the rights of freedom, you have the rights of religions, you have the rights of your family, something like that. But it never can come to you when you serve your turn in a camp. If you treat yourself as a beast, as an animal, maybe this is the way you can survive. And I do believe I survive in this way.
You anticipated my next question, which was personally, how did you sustain yourself during that time? Was there some inner strength, conviction that one day things would be better?
First of all, I was baptized as a Catholic when I was 12 years old. And I do believe that God is all the time in my heart support me. But the thing is, in the camp, you never can exercise your religions. They never allowed you to do a pray. I do remember in the first year, I think in my girlfriend, my parents, my relative, my dignity, my future. And then I have a lot of tears. I'm crying. I'm suffering. But it doesn't work. And I committed suicide. And I was forced to make a confession and betray myself and betray other people. And step by step, it seemed I satisfied in the camp. Satisfying the camp as a beast. Since then, I have no tears. I never cry. I don't think I still, as a human being, I'm not sure that how can I survive. But I do believe the one of the problem is I forget about myself as a human being.
How did you become a political prisoner?
Oh, that was 41 years ago when I was 20 years old. Actually, you know, I'm really innocent. I was 20 years old, geology student. I played baseball. I played shortstop. And I'm the captain of team. We are champion team in the municipal. I was invited and encouraged by the Communist Party to say something I want to say. So, and when I went to a class meeting, I disagreed with the Soviet invasion in Hungary in 1956. And I suggest that the member of the party have to adjust their behavior. You know, sometimes they treat common people as a second-class citizens. And that's my suggestion. That's whatever I said in this class meeting. And these words become my charge. They told me, you're attacking the party. You the enemy of the party. And later they arrest me and sentenced to life to the prison camp.
Were the conditions for political dissidents different than for others who were prisoners, who were in prison?
Generally, they treat the penal criminal and political criminal at the same way. And generally, the political criminal treatment is much worse than the penal criminal. Because, first of all, in the communist view, all the criminals come from so-called exploding classes, and they are enemy of the party. But the political criminal is worse because they have a brand. They're very stubborn. It's not easy to change. Penal criminal may be easy to use, easy to change. So in the prison camp, usually they're using the penal criminal to control the political criminal, to torture them.
And how did you manage to leave the camps, or how did you leave the camp?
It was happened about almost two decades later, in 1979. In that time period, it means 1976, the Chinese first terrible leader, Mao Zedong, was dying, and the whole country, the regime, went into a crisis. And facing the crisis, the authority always played a game. Let's say they always withdraw a few inches, change their policy, kind of moderate to survive themselves. So in 1979, the new Chinese communist leader, Deng Xiaoping, released many, many old political criminals, including me, give them some kind of rehabilitation and let them come back to the society. And then they rearrested many, many new counter-revolutionary criminals, so-called political criminals. So I got the rehabilitation and back to the human being society, I was to say.
Were you at that time able to leave China? And if not, how did you eventually leave China?
I left China in 1985. I do remember the people told me, now you are out of the cave, but you're still in the big cave. I'm still under the communist ruling. So I still very carefully, I can't, you know, do what I want to do. I applied a passport. I should not say, I want to escape from here. I still have to say, I love the communism. I love my motherland. But I want to go to somewhere, particularly go to United States to advance my study, my research, and I will come back to lawyer to my country to do my best for my country. And so I tried to apply the passport, but they still, you know, don't trust me. Take about 4 years process my passport. And finally, 1985, I got an invitation from UC Berkeley, and I left the country.
And you, when you landed in the States with just, I think, $50 in your pocket,
$40.
$40, okay. How did you survive and build a base?
Well, you know, $40 is not enough for afford a room. Even at the time, I remember there's a five Chinese students want to share one bedroom, and everybody have to pay $93. I cannot afford it. But I do believe in this country, if I be honest, if I work hard, if I never give up, I can step by step build up myself. So at the beginning, I stayed in a bar station, People's Park in Berkeley. I really scared at the time because I worried the police can take me away. Because in my mind at the time, the police is in whatever, in the United States or China, the same thing. Of course, later I find out there's a difference over there. So later I find a job in a donut shop. They hire me working from 9 p.m. to next morning, 6 a.m. It's not bad, you know. First of all, I solved the problem of during the night. I don't worry the police. Second, I find out there's ice cream and coffee and donuts free. So save a lot of money for my food. Donuts for dinner, donuts for lunch, donuts for breakfast. Yeah, the 4 months I save money. I remember after 4 months I save about $1,100 and I can have a room. I can have my own bed. Step by step, going pretty good.
And periodically, you've gone back to China to document current prison conditions. And briefly, what have you found?
The people of the world condemn Hitler's Holocaust. Also, they denied the Soviet Gulag. And yeah, everybody heard about the Cambodian Pol Pot killing field. But since 1949 until today, almost 50 years now, in communist China, do you think they don't have a kind of concentration camp? Do you think there's no a kind of system in communist China to destroy the human beings? Of course, I'm one of them. And probably 50 million people since 1949 to today. And I just a survival. I think I have the duty, I have the mission to tell the people what is it. That's why I go back to China. But I want to stay here. Because I enjoy the free, enjoy the sunshine on California beach. But if I be silent, if I be quiet, I betray the people, I betray myself, and I find I will be guilty. So that's why I want to, using the camera, get the image, get the vision, and give the people a kind of idea, image, what is going on over there.
So you see, from 1985 to 1991, the first trip I go back to China, there's 6 years around there. Even the 1989 Tiananmen Square incident happened. I didn't participate. I didn't join with it. Yeah, I did. I go to the Chinese consulate to protest, but I don't have any connection with the students inside China. I didn't do any, you know, support to them. Okay. Well, finally, 1991, I go back to China with my passion, with my hidden camera. And then a couple of years later, in 1995, finally caught me at the border. And now I have a second title, Troublemaker. I'm using that word as my third book. It is given by Chinese government. in the interrogation as senior police, he said, you have to realize, because, you know, I was illegally detained over there. I have a legal passport and violate Chinese visa. And according to China, the agreement between United States and China, they have to let me contact the American embassy because I'm an American citizen. They have to inform my embassy they arrest someone, American citizen. They don't do that. Okay. So that's why I say, forget it. Nothing you can talk about it. And then she say, you have to realize one thing. You are the number one troublemaker to our government. We know that sooner or later you will come and we got you. This time we'll solve your problem. So I received a second title, troublemaker. And then I received another, this time they have a trial. Okay, because I'm an American citizen. And I have a lawyer. The lawyer was appointed by the judge. I paid 6,000 RMB. But you know, the lawyer not stand my side, stand together with the judge. The opposite side. But anyway, I received another sentence. Another charge is a 15-year sentence. What is my crime? My crime is stealing state secrets, passing the state secrets to the foreign media, including BBC, ABC, CBS 60 Minutes, and American Congress. I cannot deny it. It is true. I'm stealing the state secrets. What is the state secrets? I never try to get into the military facility or government facility. All the time I want to go is going to visit the labor camp, Lao Gai camp. Yes, I did. I posed a Chinese military, posed a Chinese policeman go into the camp. Because otherwise, how can I get in over there? It is true, I posed as an American businessman, went to the labor camp, talked to the police manager, tried to sign a contract. Because the Chinese government denied they never sell the illegal product, the forced products of the United States. And I have the contract. That's why I make the trouble to them.
Do you believe denial of most favored nation status to China would encourage that regime to enhance, if not better, the conditions of the political prisoners there in China, if not eradicate some of the labor camps altogether?
The denial for the most favored nation trading status deliver a very strong message to both, to the common Chinese and also to the communist authorities. The message is say, we would not accept the violation of human rights in China. Okay, we are not standing with these communist evil. We will not favor you, just like we did. We never favor evil empire. We never favor North Korea communist regime, and we never favor Castro regime in Cuba. This is a message. Whatever, how big and how important the economic impact or political impact, I think this is moral, very moral issues. We have to say no.
As you serve as an ambassador to those who are still political prisoners and in labor camps in China today, that makes your work dangerous. In 1995, you were arrested by the Chinese police at the border. What happened?
You are asking, say, if I am an ambassador of the United States in China, what shall I do? First, I will keep the relation with the Chinese authorities, keep the communication with them, exchange the view between the people and between administration system is important. And I will constantly to ask Chinese government give me the information about human rights violation, and I will constantly ask for to visit Chinese prison camp.
When you were arrested by the Chinese police, were you frightened? What went through your mind?
Not really frightened, because I go over there voluntarily. I estimated what could happen to me. I know it is a risk, so I'm ready for that. But I do thinking about my family in the United States, my life in the United States. But compared to my work, compared to my mission, I think it is valuable for me to go, to take a risk.
You're listening to the Public Affairs Program, Like It Is. Like It is a radio public affairs presentation of KASU-FM at Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas. My guest today is Harry Wu, a distinguished dissident, former political prisoner in China. Mr. Wu, I want to ask you about, is there division in the Chinese-American community over what you say about the role the U.S. government should play in the internal affairs of China, insofar as a political prisoner's most favorite nation status and labor camps is concerned?
Yes, generally in the Chinese-American community, they agree to MFN from China, and mostly this community is, I want to say, pro-China, pro-communist very much. Not only they have business relationship with China, and I think the most important thing, the idea. Traditionally, the Chinese, even they come over here a couple of generations ago, they still consider China as their motherland. At the same as me, I consider China as my motherland. But Chinese was under the tradition, under the control. For them, it's very difficult to distinguish or separate the country, motherland, different from the authorities. They always put together. In China, if you criticize the authorities, if you oppose the government, it's a very easily, simply, you receive a title, a traitor. So this is a kind of very strong culture in China. But we have to tell the Chinese, whatever they are in China or they are today living in the United States, if you really love your country, love your motherland, you have to do the best for your country. The thing is, oppose communist government, because the communists didn't do anything good for our motherland.
What can the average American do to influence what happens in China?
First of all, I want to say China is a huge country. In the history, not only in the past, also in the future, China only changed by Chinese. But today, the United States have such a big influence and relationship with China, they really can play a very important role. The Chinese government today need the hard currency from the West, need a high tech from the West, and this is the leverage for American to do something for the Chinese people. We want to see a China is a peaceful, prosperities, and freedom and democracy China. And it is benefit not only the Chinese people, but also benefit the United States.
We're running short on time. I want to ask you a couple more questions and see can I get some quick responses from you. Do you have any comments on recent changes in Hong Kong with the changeover of governments?
Last July 1st, Hong Kong hand over to Communist China. Right now it's under Communist ruling. But they want to keep Hong Kong as a goose, continuing laying the golden egg for these people. So that's why so far it's not really they intend to change the society, change the system. But sooner or later, I would say they will change it. Hong Kong is no more as Hong Kong.
Now you're traveling to college campuses across this country. What is your particular message that you have for students?
Because the students in the future, they can become a government leader, and they will play very important role in the society. I wish them understand the current situation in communist China. And particularly, I want to ask them using a word in their dialogue, in their report, in their research, in their writing. The word is Laogai, L-A-O-G-A-I. Just like Gulag. Gulag, G-U-L-A-G. Before 1974, it is not a word. And today it does. It means Stalin labor camp, Soviet Union political violence. And Laogai is the word we have to remember.
And my final point to you, you've kind of, again, anticipated my next question. I'd like for you to briefly describe the two books you wrote about your experiences, Bitter Winds and the last word that you just
Troublemaker.
Absolutely. Would you just briefly tell us a little bit about that?
Bitter Winds means the time I spent in the camp for 19 years. What is daily life? What is the human beings treating like this way? Troublemaker actually is given by the Chinese authority. They call me as a troublemaker. Make trouble to the communist regime. I think this is an accomplishment. And I hope not only myself, particularly the Chinese people, we stand together, make trouble too.
I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.